Good morning. I'm excited to be here. I kind of had to skip out last Sunday, and I apologize for that. But here I am. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I will go on with my little message here. Lord, we come before you this morning. Thank you for this beautiful summer morning, Lord, for the sunshine, and for the birds singing this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we have life and breath, and that we can worship you today, Lord. And just be with us, Lord, as we listen to what's being shared. Just be with me as I share, Lord, that you would give me the words that you'd have me to speak, and that you'd give me peace. Just bless the other brothers as they share as well. Give them peace as well, Lord. And bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for my message this morning, I'm going to read Psalm 91. It seems like recently I've been coming to this psalm often. It's a very comforting psalm to anyone who's in distress or just anyone. There's a lot of good promises in here. So I'm going to read it and then go verse by verse, and we'll see what we can learn here this morning. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. All right, we're going to start in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I was looking at that and I was wondering, what is that secret place? And I believe it's the ones that have their full trust in God. They're going to be close to God. And I believe that's the secret place it's talking about, is being close to God, because most of the world is not close to God. And they don't know about it. And the last part of that verse says, he's going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I was thinking of a practical example of that, is if you want to be in somebody's shadow, like all the way inside their shadow, you have to be really close to them. You can't be 50 feet away or 100 feet away. You have to be right there beside them. So if we have our trust in God, we're dwelling in that secret place, we're going to be under His shadow. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. So God is our refuge and fortress. And I was looking up the word fortress in the Strong's, and I think another word for that is defense. So God is our defense as well as our refuge. And since He is that for us, we have every reason to trust in Him. He'll defend us from Satan, from the evil things of the world. Verse 3. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And I was thinking of a person that might put a snare out for a bird or a rabbit. Those animals, they can't really see that snare. It's a very thin wire. And they don't know it's there until they're trapped in it. And sometimes Satan sets up snares for us. And they're hard to see. But God said He's going to deliver us from those things. And also from the noisome pestilence. And I was looking up what that means in this verse. And if you look in the Strong's, another couple words for noisome pestilence is a plague, or there's another word called murrain. And I think it's referring to back in Egypt. Well, first of all, murrain means it's like a deadly disease that wipes out livestock. And I think we can see an example of that when they were in Egypt, when the plagues were going through, and that was one of the plagues where all the Egyptians' animals were completely wiped out. And I think in the same way, God can deliver us from the deadly disease of sin that's wiping out millions of people. And it doesn't have to touch us. He can spare us from that. So He can deliver us from a noisome pestilence. And it says, surely He's going to deliver us. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And that's a beautiful picture right there. I would say most of us have seen a chicken with her little chicks. You know, they might be out scratching around, and she's scratching around, but yes, she's still watching. As soon as she sees something dangerous, she'll make this clucking sound. And under her feathers, those little chicks go. And that's a beautiful picture of unselfish love and care and protection from God to us. It says we can trust under there. The last part of that verse says, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. A shield and a buckler, they're about the same thing, but a shield is a bigger thing. It protects more of the body. A buckler is a smaller thing that's more, you can be more agile with it. Now, I was going to read the verse in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. Ephesians 6, 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And under that verse down the bottom of my Bible, it says, the Christian shield offers protection against all forms of evil. Flaming arrows could not penetrate the fireproof shield of the ancient Roman soldier, nor can the assaults of Satan penetrate to the believer who places his or her faith in God. And somehow, if we have faith in God, that puts a shield around us. It's not really something we can see, but in the spiritual world, it's like a shield, and Satan's darts cannot penetrate us when we have our faith in God. And that verse says, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And we know God is true, and we can believe everything that He says. And when we have our trust and faith in Him, that truth is our shield and buckler. It creates that shield for us. Verses 5 and 6. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And I believe these are some vivid word pictures of evil that is happening all around us, but yet it can't touch us. Verse 7. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And I think it's referring again to when the children of Israel were in Egypt, when all the plagues were happening. And one of those plagues was when all the oldest sons of the Egyptians died. There were thousands falling at their right side. And we can liken that to a spiritual sense, that we're spared from a lot of evil that's happening around us, a lot of people that are falling. God protects us. And I was going to read a portion in Job 1. It's a very, very interesting picture here. Job 1, 6 through 12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. I find that kind of interesting. So sons of God means like heavenly beings or angels. But they came to present themselves before God, and Satan came with them. It's kind of weird to think about that. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? So God's asking him, Did you consider my servant Job, like how perfect he is? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now Satan's putting a challenge out to God. He says, But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. But God turns around and challenges Satan. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And I think we can find a lot of comfort in that Satan has no power over us unless God gives it to him. That's a beautiful thing to think about for the believer. Like the people of the world, they're serving Satan, so Satan has all the power. But for us, Satan has to like get permission to come and touch us. But interestingly, God told him, you can touch everything he has, but not his life. Don't kill him. And Satan couldn't do that. All right, verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And I believe this literally means, in the New Living Translation, it says, just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. And sometimes it looks like they're wicked are just prospering. They have such amazing lives, but I don't think we can see how they really feel inside. And how they probably have a lot of guilt. There's a lot of sin laid on their shoulders that's just weighing them down. They're being punished daily. Verses 9 and 10. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And that's another really beautiful promise for the believer. That if we made God our refuge, there's no evil can touch us. And I don't think this means that there's no trials and things come, but I don't think we're going to be conquered by that evil. That's what it means. Verse 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. This is very interesting to me, but if you go in Matthew 4, 6, Satan used those very verses to try to tempt Jesus when he was in the wilderness. Matthew 4, verses 5 and 6. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And if we notice, Satan said, if thou be the Son of God. He was trying to make God, Jesus, doubt who he really was. But Jesus knew what he was on the earth for, and he wasn't going to be fooled by that. But Satan tried to make him doubt there, and then he used scripture to tempt him. And I think it's safe to say that he can still do that today. Sometimes he'll try to make us doubt, like we might think, well, am I really a child of God, or am I really born again? But if we read the scripture, there are so many promises in there that if you're doing this, if you whatever, that you are a child of God. But I find that interesting that he can use scripture to try to make us doubt. But I think Jesus gave us a really good example here. Every time that Satan threw something at him, a doubt or the scripture that he used, Jesus always came back with scripture from himself. Like the first time it was, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The second time, he said, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." He always came back with scripture. And then the third time, he rebuked Satan, and then he came back with more scripture. And that's a really good example for us, how we can handle Satan when he's trying to tempt us. Verse 13 is another vivid word picture. "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." All right, the last three verses, 14 through 16. "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." There are like eight promises in those three verses. That God, this is literally, it's like God talking to us. And that word love in verse 14, it literally means to hold close to or hugging tightly in love. So if we hold God close to ourselves, or we keep ourselves close to him, all these promises are for us. And I believe that's all I would have this morning. But I think we can take a lot of comfort in this chapter. There's so many promises in here for the believer. And I've found it comforting in my life. So I hope you're all blessed this morning. And God bless you.